realize that there is a reward, that there is payment, that there is value at the end, we are willing to move for it. Now, key point is willing. Now, it's easy because I said, is anybody willing? And all of you still kind of looked at me. And you guys know me. You ought to know me by now that I'm usually giving out something that's good. You remember the paper money I gave away? I done something somewhere like that. Now, don't lose that money, London. That's going somewhere. Don't give it to Nana. Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed, and he was no more known as a leper. Jesus told him, hey, go about your way. Go do the due process. Enter back into your family because you are clean. Now, I want us to grab a hold of something right here. When the leper came, he came with one motive. He came to worship. He did not come to Christ and say, hey, I need you to heal me. Because first of all, he couldn't do that. It was against the law. If a leper was to touch someone that was clean, it was immediate death. Being in the leper camp just wasn't worse enough. They were breaking the law. We find that this leper came and he worshiped Christ. Now, you got to realize where Jesus Christ was coming from. He was coming down from off the mount. And this man no doubt heard everything that had been going on. He heard the teaching of Jesus Christ when he gave the Sermon on the Mount. He heard all the things that Jesus Christ stated. And this man was sitting down there at the base of the mountain getting real salvation. And when he found out that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was making his way, he decided not to ask him for healing first, but he decided to offer up worship. What would happen tonight is if we as a group of people would come to the house of God willing to worship before we ask. What would begin to transpire if we would come into the house of God with such a willing attitude and enter into the atmosphere of the Holy Ghost of God? What would break forth? Let me tell you what would break forth, the continuation of what we've been experiencing here. Amen. Lord, I pray that you'd bless your word, bless this service tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd move here amongst your people. Lord, I pray that you would anoint these altars here tonight, God, as people come forth tonight, that they would come forth and that they would leave changed, challenged, and transformed, God, into a child, amen, that is willing to work, willing to worship and do your will. I pray that you would help revival to continue to break forth. Lord, let us come tonight with empty hands, lifting them up and looking for your will tonight. In your name we pray, and the church said, amen. You can be seated tonight. Look at your neighbor, the one you don't like. Ask him, are you willing? All right, look at your other neighbor. Oh, Grant, he ain't got many neighbors. He's looking back at all the rest of them. Ask him, are you going to work? All right. Now look at the person behind you there, and say, are you going to help the preacher? All right. Okay. See, look. You're all getting excited. Amen. Give me a chance to catch my breath. What we find here, I'm going to preach on this simple thought tonight. On willingness works miracles. Willingness works miracles. We need a miracle. Here we go. Amen. The old technology. Sometimes it drags. Willingness works miracles. miracles. See, no, that's not truth. Faith works miracles. But let me tell you, if you're not willing to activate your faith, you will never see a working miracle. So let me ask you guys here a question tonight. When's the last time you've seen somebody saved? Because that was a miracle. That's when faith was in action and an individual was willing to come down and accept the saving grace of an almighty God. When's the last time you've seen somebody filled with the Holy Ghost for the first time? Because that was faith in action, being willing to allow a miracle to work in their life. You see, that's not a miracle, that's a gift. I'm sorry to tell you, but it is a miracle, because man, carnal man, has denied himself upon the cross, upon Calvary, laid himself on the offering as an offering upon the altar to the Almighty God, saying, Lord, here am I, work a miracle in me. When's the last time you were refilled with the Holy Ghost? I hope it was this morning. Coming thoroughly furnished. Something that's started on the inside, all of a sudden it begins to come out into the outside. It's something every time you touch someone, they see and they sense that there is a willingness, that you have a desire, a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. As this leper did, he didn't simply go to Christ. Amen. To go and ask him for a miracle. We find he had a purpose. When we come into the house of God, do we come with a purpose to lift up our hands, to make ourselves uncomfortable in the presence of an almighty holy God? I'm here to tell you tonight, church, that we've got to begin to have a willingness to sacrifice our own self-comfort, stand up to our feet, throw our head back, lift our hands up and say, Lord, I'm willing. Hallelujah. Do I have any giant slayers in the house? Do I have any young men that's willing to be bound hand and foot, be thrown in a fiery furnace, that's willing to stand before a king and say, we will not bow and we will not burn, because we serve a God? Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, are we willing to make ourselves uncomfortable in the presence of an almighty God? Because we like these padded pews. They just calm us down. Oh. Can't tell you how many times I see some of these boys just calming down. Wait till you get them on the basketball field. And then we're active. What I'm challenging us is to be willing move. Willing to compromise. Now get a hold of this. Compromise on our comfort. Okay? I'm not saying you can't sit down. I want you guys to grab a hold of this just real quick. I want you to compromise in what I want. And say, I'm going to do what he wants. This leper had him probably, no doubt, a really nice cozy, comfortable corner, Brother Jason. He knew he was going to get some fresh bread. Not that two-day-old stuff that had the mold on it. And that he was going to be able to catch that one fisherman that always catches plenty of fish. He's going to throw a few in his lap. But he decided, this is from the Gospel of Lucas A. Sanders, chapter 52. It's a big book. Lots of opinions in there. All of a sudden, from hearing the roar of what had happened up on top of that mountain, he decided, I'm going to make myself uncomfortable. Grab a hold of this. Willingness works in your worship. Worship is warfare. It is taking and amplifying what God has done in us, and it begins to penetrate the atmosphere. Now, if we were to have a firework or an explosion in here, it would cause all of us to be alert and scared because we weren't sure what happened, who it was, where's it coming from, is it getting me next? And there'd be some return fire. Yeah, the lights would go out. See, hey, this is good. This is good. I'm going to preach a little bit different tonight. You're going to be like, man, he's going to preach forever. Pray that I don't. I seen something this morning. Is when somebody came in, they sat in a different spot. Kind of changed it up a little bit. But when we come in here, yeah, it's just like a nuclear warfare. What would happen if right now I said, okay, all right, you ready for this? All right, who's it going to be? It's going to be Brother Mike. Come here, Brother Mike. Hurry. The building's on fire. Amen. He's hurrying. Amen. See, he just got asked to move. Now, I'm going to brag on Brother Mike here for just a minute. I love Brother Mike because he is a willing man. Don't matter what I ask Brother Mike to try and do, you know what he does, Brother Jason? He does it. He doesn't question. He just hooks up. Let me tell you something, Brother Mike. That's who God likes to use. You stand up here and help me for just a minute? Willingness. Just stand there for just a minute. Now, wave your hand at me. See, I always use the little guys. Using somebody different tonight. Now, holler out hallelujah, Brother Mike. Hey, there's some power in that. Let's hear an amen, Brother Mike. Let's hear a praise the Lord. Hey, what begins to happen? We begin to have a response. And what begins to happen, not only here in the building, there was a few others that raised their hand, but imagine what happens in heaven when we begin to lift up our voice and it begins to penetrate the atmosphere. The enemy has to turn tail and flee because there is weapons that he cannot combat. His shield is not strong enough to combat the arrows of the Word of God. I'm here to tell you tonight, we begin to lift up a hallelujah. We begin to lift up an amen. We're saying, I agree with what's being said, not only here in earth, but it's being written down in heaven. I'm here to tell you tonight, revival will continue to reign as long as we do an all-out worship assault on the enemy. Hallelujah. Willingness. Works miracles. I mean, I want to break the ice here. Anybody got a pick I can use? You don't have to just worship where you're at. Everywhere. Grab a hold of this. Everywhere we find worship in the Bible, something happens. Paul and Silas started worshiping in a prison. Hallelujah. But it didn't stay in the prison. It left the prison and it went into that jailer's house and it began to break through in that man's house and it went out from that man's house. Worship never stopped. Praise of the Lord never stopped. What would begin to happen tonight if we would become a little radical, amen, just simply a little crazy and allowing the enemy to know I've got weapons of mighty warfare and I'm not afraid to use it. Hallelujah. Not made it past my opening text. Might be a two-part series, Brother Jason. All right, young people. Young adults. You consider yourself a young adult, stand up real quick. Go ahead, Sister Janet. Hey, I said if you consider yourself a young adult, you can stand fast. Hey. Now, what I want everybody to stand, oh, don't stand there. Sit down, Brother Jason. Stand up. I want everybody that's standing up to holler out, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Again.
Hallelujah.
Louder.
Hallelujah.
Come on now. Is that all you got?
Hallelujah.
Hey. What's that begin to do? It begins to cause something to stir. I heard people that were sitting down hollering, hallelujah. Why? Because when we begin to let out a cry, it is contagious. Hallelujah. The power of God, when it begins to get inside of you, it begins to spill out. And next thing you know, it's contagious. I'm here to tell you, your willingness will begin to work a miracle inside your neighbor, inside of your family, when we begin to get willing to move. Hallelujah. Takes me to my next point. You want to be seated, you can. If you want to stand and help me preach, you can. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. What's it mean it was noised? It means Grant wasn't staying in his house, just keeping it a secret. I'm talking about little Grant here. He was over at Jimmy's house. Hey, you're not going to believe this. He was over at Timmy's house. You're not going to believe this. He ran all the way to Noah, Brother Charles' house. You're not going to believe this. We can believe he could do that because he's just, man. That's what happened. Jesus is going to be at Calvary Lighthouse Church. And the house was filled. I'll tell you how to fill this house up. It's when we get willing. Amen. When we have a willingness. Our willingness is what works miracles. Whenever you get so excited about what God's doing in your life or somebody you know's life, and you tell somebody else about it. Next thing you know, six states over, they've heard about it. Hey, there's a 21-week revival that's exploded in Calvary Lighthouse Church. They've not went a week without service. Because the power of God is moving. Brother Timmy got healed from having to wear glasses. That would be a miracle. Just think of all the money you'd save, Brother Robert. Hey, it can start. And it is funny. Well, we quit praying about stuff like that. I'm being serious. Oh, glasses. We can go to the doctor and get glasses. It's fixed. We quit praying for it. Oh, I've got nerve problems in my back. Well, they make medication for that. We quit praying for it. Oh, man. Just tell you, there's this limp. I'll just go get a brace. We just start making excuses on reasons we don't have to be willing. Because we go and do all these other activities and we go and get all that stuff. But when it comes to God, Satan, Sister Lindsay hit this on this nail on the head this morning when he whispers and says, Isaac, get up and run around the church. And he runs around the church. We don't think it odd because I asked him and everybody heard it. It's a willingness, thank you, Brother Isaac, to just activate. And if I say, Titus, he's like, what? Sometimes I'm using that because I knew you'd do that. Sometimes that's the way we do God. It's because I did not give him a full statement. Sometimes God wants to say church. And instead of just waiting for him to say something else, we show willingness and we stand up and we say, Almighty God, I am available. I am available. whenever David went down to that valley where he knew Goliath was at, when David heard him breathing out threats against God, David stood up and said, is there not a cause? Amen. When God calls out, church, do we arise to the occasion? Say, whether I'm equipped or not, I want him to know I'm ready to be armored up by the armor of an almighty holy God. And I'm willing to be used. Hallelujah. Verse number 2. And straightway they were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick, the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. All right, Titus, come here. Jonathan, come up here, buddy. Grant. Isaac, sorry, I spaced out. Kimmy, go ahead, come here. All right, Titus, lay down right here on the altar. Hurry. Fast. I'm getting long-winded. All right, stay stiff. You guys grab him up. He didn't want to go. You guys got him? All right, walk across this way, though. Go on across this way. Look at him. They're carrying him. I like using people because it keeps them engaged in the service. See, you guys are doing really good, strong. Except for this one, kind of. Yeah. There was four of them. Go ahead and go back over and set him back down. There was four of them that bore him up. They had a willingness to carry a burden. They had a willingness to carry a burden for someone else. Pastor, you have to pray for me. Because this is something that we all struggle with. I'm going to pray for him over here. Way over here. Where I know where they're at, but they don't know where I'm at. We've gotten scared of what somebody might breathe on us. Got a bad breath? Hey, put on some extra cologne. You won't smell it. If you ain't wearing deodorant, double up on some cologne. You won't smell it. Listen to me. It's humorous. But I'm going to hit on something here for just a few minutes. Give me 5 minutes on this point. I'll move to the next one. Is a willingness to work on the behalf of someone else. Altar workers is important. But we lose sight of it. Oh, I'm going to go play. I'm going to go sing. I've got to go and cook my food. Oh, we forget all about it. We forget that there is a warfare that's going on. Whenever it's time to pray, come here, guys, that we are willing to get together. Here, stand up here. We're going to use you for just a minute. And we're going to pray. Just get a hold of him, guys. Come on now. Don't be scared of what he's got. Start praying. Grant needs help. Come on. His family needs prayer. Come on, pray for his own situations that's going on in his life. When we begin, keep praying. Pray till heaven moves. What begins to happen is whenever you begin to get a group that's willing to stand together. Amen. Those bonds are not broken, but they become to get strengthened. Amen. And there becomes a prayer, an activation of a burden, carrying it for someone else. They might not know all the issues, but yet they're bound together. They've got a burden for one that needs carried. And what would happen in Calvary Lighthouse Church when someone knelt down, whether at the altar
or at their pew, when we begin to find ourselves getting together and willing to lift up the name of an almighty God, letting him know, I'm willing, church, I'm willing to carry the burden for others. They're still praying. It might have started as something that I just asked them to do. But if you can hear their prayer, they are becoming serious about encountering and engaging in warfare. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. Amen. This isn't just a game. The devil's playing for keeps. He say, oh, I'm just going to go ahead and go do what I want to do. Pastor made reference to this. Sometimes you want to be the gambler. You gamble one too many times. It's like a spent shell. Unless you got the powder, the primer, and the projectile put back in it, it is worthless. So don't go out shooting up all of God's grace. Because there could come a time where there is no powder, there is no fire, that primer, and there is no projectile. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Come here and I'll explain it to you. It's important. Because without it, without the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, grab a hold of this real quick. He needs a shell casing to carry out his word. Amen. Are you willing tonight to be, amen, the automobile that God can work through? Are you a willing, working vessel that's willing to carry a burden for somebody else? Are you somebody that's willing to work in worship? Hallelujah. Man, the Lord's good. There was a lady, I'm going to speed right through this. There was a lady that decided that she had been fighting 12 years with a sickness for far too long. She wasn't necessarily supposed to be around the crowds anymore because she had been uncured for a length of time. Everyone knew she had a problem. Now, how many in here tonight, just raise your hand if you know somebody that's got a problem. Now, what are we doing to make sure they're getting in the presence of Jesus Christ? This woman had nobody there to help encourage her to push in anymore. They said, lady, you've wasted all your money. You were once wealthy. Now you have nothing. But she found herself trying to catch the coattail of Jesus. Come here, Grant. Walk across that way real slow so I can keep up with you. Long legs. Just trying to get to him. Just kept out, just out of hand's reach. And finally she touched him and went the other way. Jesus stopped the whole process, said, wait, boys. He was headed to go heal someone else's kid. Wait, boys, somebody touched me. Simon said, you're crazy. You crazy, man. Everybody's touching you. He said, no. Somebody touched me. How long's it been since we've got to the place where we've been willing to press? Press. When we begin to press against the things of this world and we're trying to get to Jesus, we use this corner for just a minute. It's holding us back, but we're still reaching. We're still fighting. The thing is, grab a hold of this. She was pressing towards Jesus, but so was everyone else. Every time she would reach, guess what? Somebody behind her that was trying to get to him too bumped her head a little bit farther and bumped her head a little bit farther. She might have had a few hands that got stepped on, a few toes too. But she kept getting pushed because she was pressing. I'm here to tell you tonight, if you would get activated and a desire to be willing to see miracles work, amen, through you, not that you might stand up and testify and say, look what's happening here, but that you could point to the Almighty God and say tonight that my willingness has worked because of my desire to touch him. Not for him to touch me, but that I might touch Christ. That I might get to the point and to the place where I can just touch him. There's a difference, church, when we get a desire to touch Him instead of Him touching us. Because it's a desire that we might minister to Him. I'm here to tell you, young ladies, amen, there is a place for you. Because Jesus was anointed by a woman that broke a box upon Jesus Christ's feet. Amen, there was another lady in the Bible named Deborah. Amen, that was a mighty judge of Israel. Amen, let me tell you, there is hope. There is strength. Hold on to who you are. Grab a hold of God and let Him make a working miracle out of you. Be willing to stand up. Be willing to step forward. Hallelujah. Honey, if you get ready here in just a minute, I'm going to come play. John 9 and 1. Sister Lindsay sang the song about this man. And Jesus passed by. I need a blind man. Hurry. Who's going to be my blind man? Grant, one of you. Come sit. Sit right there. Sit down there on the altar. Act like you're blind. Isaac, come poke him in the eye so he really knows what it's like. I'm teasing. And Jesus passed by. And he saw there was a blind man. Get a hold of this. The blind man never called out. Jesus' fame was throughout the land. No doubt. He thought, well, I could holler out, but I just heard the other day that Jesus was being hunted by them guys up in that temple. They won't let me go in there. I don't know how smooth that granite is. That's supposedly supposed to be in there in the wood and the gold. But I just heard rumor that they're hunting. I'm going to be quiet. I would like to be touched by God because I would like to do something with my life other than sit here on the edge and beg. We find the disciples bring up this man. They say, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents? Isn't it funny how we do that? Somebody falls on this unfortunate event. Something just goes bad. We automatically laugh. I think I know why they're in the pickle. Let me just tell you why. You know, Brother Jason, that one time that he was trying to cheat in school, that's why he got stricken with blindness. And along comes Peter, and he says, no, silly. The reason he got struck with blindness is because he backtalked his mom. No, John says, that's not the reason why. Let's see what Jesus has to say about this. It's just kind of funny to get our imagination rolling. I tell you, I've got some of you guys on either the seat, the edge of your seat, or you're fixing to slide. Yeah, I'm not sure which it is. Jesus said, hey, boys, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So let me ask you tonight, who here tonight is willing to have the mighty work of God manifested in your life? Honestly, how many of you are willing to allow the presence of God to come to your house, kick down the door, blow out all the windows, and say, listen here, bub or sis, it's time to change who you are completely. You are no longer going to be called Peter. You are no longer going to be called Abram. You are no longer going to be called Jacob, but you are going to be called a child of the King. We need to have a name change. So we find Jesus here. I know I'm slowing down. I'll speed back up here just a second. He said that the works should be made manifest in him. I must work the work of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light. And when he had spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he told the blind man, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is interpreted sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed. All right. Sounded really good, didn't it? Anybody got any mud? There's something right here behind his ears from Airsoft the other day. Now go wash. Now, when Jesus told this man to go wash, you got to realize something. This man was a beggar. And when he went and washed Sister Pepper, he didn't just wash his eyes. Though his face was the first thing that got touched. This man, whenever Jesus Christ, this is going to, might grow some of you guys out. I shared this with Brother Jason the other day. Somebody else. Jesus Christ, whenever he spat on the ground and made up that little bit of clay. What's in spit? Anybody? Huh? No, what's the slobber? What's in slobber? I don't have any educational people here.
DNA. Oh, that guy's DNA.
But it was Jesus, so whose DNA was it?
Jesus. God Almighty.
He's the Son of God. What just happened? When Jesus made up that little bit of spit, he put that man just had a DNA change. He was no longer the blind man that sat outside, amen, outside the city. He was no longer just a blind man, but he was somebody that had a change. He was altered in who he was. You'll get that later on tonight when you're sitting there sleeping. You'll be like, what in the world? This man couldn't see. Your DNA is unable to be changed, right? Well, it used to be. People nowadays are trying to do all kinds of things. But what happened is whenever we get saved, we are no longer the sons of man. We are the sons and daughters of God. There has been a blood transfusion. We are no longer known as we were, but we are known as he wants us to be and what we are to become. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, why don't we start acting like some sons and daughters of God? Amen. That has a royal heritage that's willing to pierce the airwaves with an almighty name. Jesus, thou son of David. Jesus, my Savior. Jesus, my King. He went and washed. And when he went and washed, the scripture says that he came seeing. Amen. He went out. Amen. Struggling. But when he came back victorious. I'm here to tell you, when he came back into town, people said, ain't that old blind man? We're not quite sure. Looks like he got a bath and a shave. He's not wearing that beggar cloak anymore. You know, what would have happened? What happened if Jesus said, oh, hey, you know that old garment you got's not very good. I'm going to send you home. I'm going to wash and put mine on when you get there. Come back into town a little bit. You do that? Thank you, sweaty. I would not put that on. There's some DNA in this. Anybody wants some? When he came back in, he didn't look like the same. Sister Lindsay, come to the piano. Rescue me. This man, he had a willingness for obedience. Whenever he didn't ask for this. He did not ask to be spat on. He did not ask for clay to be rubbed in eyes that he's never seen. But when Jesus asked him to do something, he went. When I say, Titus, come here. I say, Lydia, come here. I say, Arian, come here. Brother Rick, come here. What's happening? There's an activation occurrence that's going on. I say, Brother Mike, come here. Sister Janet, will you help me? Look at these people up here. Good looking group of folks, huh? A willingness to work. I wish I'd have brought some brooms and stuff out here and handed it to them just to show an encounter whenever a tool is placed in someone's hand. You know, if I hand my keys to Brother Rick, I know he can drive. Be like, Brother Rick, I need you to go down the road and I need you to fill that thing up with people and bring them back. And Brother Rick is a willing man that would go and do it. If I told Brother Mike, man, Brother Mike, I need you to go down, pick up all the ice you can at the store because we're fixing to have a house full. Brother Mike would go figure out how to pack every bag of ice in the back of his truck, car, whatever he had, to make sure we had enough. And if I told this little girl right here, come here, baby. I said, now, you get that tambourine over there and you play it, sister. You play it as Miriam did when she was coming across the Red Sea. You start playing that thing and allowing the Spirit of God to use you. She'd do it, I believe. I see her grab that thing up and she plays it in confidence. Never misses a beat, Brother Jason. We have people that were willing to come up here. None of them fought me, ground at me, threw stuff at me. Yeah, Lydia did. But see, there's a willingness that can happen right here. I'm fixing to make my altar call. Amen. Those of you that are standing here, just go ahead and go to your respective sides real quick. Boys over here, girls over there. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He is willing that none should perish. But yet some of us sit in our seats here tonight saying, but I'm not willing. Now I have a sister that needs the Lord to touch her body. Well, Pastor, I do whatever it took to get to Jesus. There's a situation that I know about personally right now that I have taken days and I've fasted and I've prayed and I've asked God, would you please move? If I knew, just remember that there's something else that I could do, I would do it. If I knew, Brother Terry, that you needed something, I would do everything I could to try and make sure that your soul made it to glory. But when it comes to the power and the presence of God that I feel in this place tonight, Brother Charles, what are we willing to do? Are we willing to lay our comforts aside? Say, Lord, here am I. Continue revival in me. Come, church. Come to the altar. Are you going to be as that widow was when Elijah came to the household? Tonight, are you going to be as that widow said? She's like, hey, I've only got just enough for me and my boy. I'm going to die. He said, make me a cake, and she did it. That oil withstood the whole thing because she was willing to serve the man of God first. Grab a hold of a need. Grab a hold of a burden. Begin to allow your faith to be activated. Encounter the presence of God in a new level, a new place. Come on to the house of God with every offering, with a wave offering.